Well, Teresa, here in Alabama, the temps are in the 80s, and we're still sheltering in place, and the garden is coming alive. What's happening up around Indianapolis?
Well, no 80s for us. We were mid-50s today, though, and we did have sunshine finally. We've been having lots and lots of rain. There's still parts of my garden that are flooded, but I was out in the garden cleaning up beds, and I was pruning roses, and this is a bit early for us, but it's great. But have you noticed how much leaves love roses too?
Absolutely.
They just hug in on those roses all winter long, and they're the dickens to get out. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, very much so. I tell you, I put my cultivators and garden rakes to work.
80 degrees, you're seeing some different things than I'm seeing, I bet.
Yeah, not only are we seeing these warm temperatures, I'm beginning to see new roses bloom every day. I wanted to tell you about one in particular that I was really excited about. It's a rose from India called Nagabel. Have you heard of this rose?
Well, I've seen pictures, but I don't know much about it.
Well, it's a shrub rose, and it was bred by Varu Varagahavan in India, and he's a rose hybridizer there. And this rose came to the United States through the Antique Rose Emporium, who introduced it into commerce, and it was an AGRS winner for 2020. And I was kind of excited about that because, you know, that's a pretty rigorous trial, and to see a warm climate award winner come out of that trial is, you pretty much got a winner there. So, you know, Nagabel not only won the Warm Climate Award, it won the Southeast Award, South Central and Northwest. So big part of the country, this rose will flourish again.
Well, it sure is pretty. I'm hoping for 5B, but I'm not sure that's going to work.
Yeah, you know, you could give it a try, but for the most part, it probably wouldn't flourish in that part of the country. And that's one thing I love about regionality and roses, that the way these trials are being conducted now, you can pretty much tell from the results of these rose trials whether or not a rose is going to do well where you live.
That is so true. Now, I have been known to push the zone more than one occasion, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. So we'll just have to see about that one.
Most definitely. Now, really, the bonus episode that we just published with Diane Blazek about gardening in place with this COVID-19 pandemic that's going on, you know, it really just kind of brings us back around to the basics of gardening. We've got people getting out in their yards for maybe the first time. And today's guest really is all about that first time interaction with roses.
Oh, he sure is. You know, friend Ron Daniels is going to guest today. And Ron has one of the most beautiful home rose gardens around. But you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg with Ron. He's into everything gardening, from training master gardeners and speaking to garden clubs to restoring historical gardens. He just does it all. And today he's going to give us his basic tips on getting our spring rose garden off to a great start.
Y'all stay with us. The Rose Tap Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Ron, it's good to have you back on Rose Chat. So how are things going in Nashville?
And it's looked like gardening the last 2 days. We've had 80-degree temperatures, so that's encouraging with all this cloudy, gloomy weather we've been having the last 2 or 3 months. But been working in the garden quite a bit, getting my roses ready, so I'm getting a little bit excited about the new, the season.
Yep, it is that time. Well, I have to tell you a little story. Last year, after my good friend John Hefner visited your rose garden, he told me it was one of the prettiest home rose gardens he had ever seen.
Wow, that's coming from him. That's a super compliment because I've, you know, read articles and I got to meet him, you know, which is awesome. And I had that particular day, I had so much fun because I had actually people from 30 states here. It was exciting having all them here and having people from Wisconsin and different places where they could, you know, give me some input of what they grow up there. So it was a fun day. We had the national mini show here in Franklin, Tennessee, and I was in charge of the garden tours on Sunday. And so I got to meet a lot of them, and it was fun. And but coming from him, that's a tremendous, tremendous compliment.
It is a tremendous compliment. And, you know, I've seen pictures of your garden, but I've never seen it in person. And so maybe sometime soon we get this quarantine lifted and we'll all be wanting to get in our cars and go visit.
Right, right. Hopefully that'll come soon rather than later. But we got to be patient, you know.
Yep.
Our age group falls into ones at the most risk. So we just have to do what they say and go along with the plan. And
we sure do. It is a scary place right now, but that just means our gardens mean more than ever. So since you have this beautiful garden and you teach and you do all the things that you do, help us have that kind of a garden. So what are your tips?
Well, you know, in the spring, you know, and it varies from zone to zone. You in zone 5, I'm in zone 7, and you know, kind of know the differences, but, you know, one of the first things you do is, whatever winter protection you use. And here in Tennessee, here in zone 7, I use, just red hardwood mulch and kind of mound my roses up. When you start out in the spring, which actually I did my pruning early this year because, we had such warm temperatures. So most of mine were done, couple weeks ago, actually almost 2 weeks ago. And what you want to do is remove your winter protection, whatever that is. And you'll have, you know, the biggest thing is know when to do that. Here in Tennessee, I got kind of an old timer sign of the forsythia bushes. And when they're in bloom, and ours started blooming like the second week in March, which is kind of rare because it's usually toward the end of the month. And so I started my pruning, but in February, prior to that point, I pruned all my shrubs, my David Austins and stuff like that. You can prune them early and got them up and going, but basically move your winter protection. And when you're removing it, be careful because you'll see some basal breaks, and basal breaks is basically new growth that's coming from the plant, and eventually it'll be a new cane, and eventually it'll be new buds and flowers. So if you can protect them when you pull the winter back, and then what I normally do, I pull it back a little bit, then take a hose pipe and put it on a little pressure to it and wash it away. And that way you'll make sure you don't damage that basal break. But you do that first thing. Always keep the mulch handy. As you well know, and been growing roses almost 30 years. And, you know, it ain't unusual for us to have a freeze the first part of April here. And when I say a freeze, anything below 32. And so in case you have to, after you do your pruning, you can come back and put the winter protection back around it and protect the bud unions on anything that's grafted. Now, old garden roses and shrub roses and a lot of your miniatures on their own root do real well. Far as overwintering, they don't have a whole lot of dieback and nothing like that. So, but basically what you want to do is just remove your winter protection, look for basal breaks, and keep your winter protection close by in case we have one of them sudden freezes. The second thing you want to do is, which I do, and they kid me in the Nashville Rose Society because I'm always bringing this up, but is check the pH. And the pH is very important, as you well know, in growing roses. If it's too high, too low, and that's the acidity and alkalinity in the soil. If it's too low or too high, it's going to affect your rose bushes. So I normally, what I'll do, I'll check that right after I get my winter protection off. And And if it's here in Tennessee, we don't have a tendency for it to get too high. Most of the time it's too low. And simple thing to bring it up and is to add garden lime, or there's a liquid lime, or you can make your own lime, liquid lime if you want to. You can take garden lime and mix it with water, and it gets into plant a little bit quicker and corrects the pH in a little shorter amount of time. So if you've got a condition where it's too high, you would add some sulfur. On all these amounts here, I usually put anywhere from a half a cup to a full cup of lime around my plants to bring the pH up. And if it's too high, you add about a cup of sulfur, and that will bring it back down. Sulfur is what brings the pH down, actually. And you know, if you think about it, in organics, the byproducts of organics is sulfur. And sulfur, we use a lot of organics, I do personally, and it'll eventually bring the pH down. So that's the two things that I like to do. When you're reading a meter, I use a Keel instrument meter, and I've had for 16, 17 years. The ideal pH reading on a rose is 6.5. But if you're 6.2 to 6.7, the roses usually perform pretty well, and you don't have much trouble. But it's very important, because if you don't keep the pH right, it'll cause the plant to kind of lock up and not allow fertilizer into it and everything it needs to perform well.
Now, I see on your list, the next thing you wanted to talk about was pruning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pruning scares people. So take us through that.
Yeah, pruning, you know, in teaching and, you know, teaching new rosarians, this is the hardest thing. I know I learned this years and years ago when I went to pruning demos. And we'd usually have master gardeners and amateur gardeners, and different garden clubs will come to them. And we, as a consulting rosarian, which we like to have plenty of them at a pruning demo, would divide up in groups, and you'll hear yells and squeals and crying. And when you start really pruning, especially hybrid teas, when you cut them down, and they just don't understand. They think they are killing it, and actually they are helping it. And my mentor used to tell me, said, you know, there's no such thing as bad pruning. It's the worst thing you do is not prune at all. So, but pruning is important, and you have to know, whatever you're growing, it's a little bit different. It's not rocket science, but it's something that people are scared of and have fear about doing. And if you don't learn this technique, you're not going to have good roses. But shrub roses and miniatures are more forgiving. You can cut them down. Don't really worry about a certain place to cut them, but you can cut them down and cut the dead out of them. I always tell, the first thing you do is look at the plant and start cutting the dead, and start from the top of the plant. If you look at a rose bush, the thorns, most of them point down. So if you start at the bottom, you're going to have to deal with more thorns than you do if you start at the top. But I always start at the top, and I'll cut a little bit off so I can see the plant a little bit better. And then I'll start taking out anything smaller than a number two pencil, cut it out, anything in the center. I'll cut out all the dead. And as my mentor used to tell me, he said, cut it to where you could set a mixing bowl right in the middle of it. And when he said that, I thought that was kind of funny, but that's the kind of effect, because you want it to grow outward. And then where to cut it is what people have a little trouble with too, because you want to find a bud that's coming outward away from the plant. I mean, it's not the end of the world if you cut one that's going inward, but you shoot for that. And then you cut about a quarter inch above that about a 45 degree angle, and then it'll grow out. And then that's going to be your cane that's going to support your roses. So, here in this year, we didn't have a severe winter. I cut my roses back here in Tennessee, about 12 to 18 inches, my hybrid teas, my miniatures, about, I usually cut them 40, about 30-40%, sometimes 50%, and cut them back. Most of them own their own roots, so they're tough. There's not a whole lot of dieback. And then the floribundas and grandifloras, all in hybrid teas, I cut all of them about the same way. But the climbers, I work on them in February, and when it's warm enough, and I get out and cut the dead canes, and because they're easier to handle when there's no leaves on them. And then any canes that's over 3 or 4 years old, I'll cut them out. And then this, because you don't want to cut too heavily on them, because you'd be cutting off, depending on the climber, you'd be cutting off blooms for the spring. But but you need to retie it, tie them up, and kind of get them in a fan shape. And there's different climbers. It's just a little bit. You don't heavy prune them. I always like to prune them a lot right after the first bloom cycle. That way I can go in there and shape it a little bit more and cut out any canes that are old and been there a while, because they will replace. They'll send out new shoots after you do that. So climbers is but every 2 to 3 years, I've kind of I don't heavy prune them, but I'll prune them up pretty good.
That's some really good tips. We should have you do a YouTube video when you're pruning, so you can show us what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that. It's just what I like to do, and we have pruning demos, especially the new people. I invite them when I do my pruning to come out and kind of give a one-on-one. I think that's the best way to do it. When you get in a group, a lot of times you won't ask questions, but just take them to a plant, and then after you show them, put the pruners in their hands and let them do them, and you can just kind of coach them through it. But pruning is, you could probably do a whole show on pruning, because the techniques are basically the same. But in different parts of the country, they may do it a little bit different. And by the way, before I got stuff, one thing we need to remember about pruning, I always tell when I start my presentations that, this is how I do it. All us rosarians have a different way of getting to that rose. And, I always tell them that because, knowing a lot of rosarians, and I talk to them and I learn a lot from them, they have different techniques of doing everything. And that's the unique thing about this hobby, because it's not all in stone, but we most of the time get the same results. And another thing, before you begin your year and you get your physical for the year, have your doctor make sure your tetanus shots are up, because even though we wear protective gloves and stuff, we still get stuck with the thorns now at this point in time in my life, I get a tetanus booster every 4 years instead of every 10 years. And, your doctor will do that if you tell them what you're doing. Tetanus is not pretty. If you get it in your body, it's a bacteria, get bacteria in your body, and it can affect you different ways. So I think all gardeners should keep their tetanus shots up, because you're in the soil, in bacteria. And then especially rosarians, we're always pruning, we're always deadheading, we're always out there, even though we wear the best that we can get in gloves and protection, and protect your eyes also. I wear sunglass goggles when I'm pruning, because, as you well know, you've been in the garden, something hits you in the face. And but it's, like I said, you can do a whole program on pruning, but there's just some basic things, opening up the center, cutting the dead out. Don't be afraid to go lower. And then after you prune, a week or two after that, go back over the garden, because you'll have a little bit more dieback, and you can go down to the next bud and recut it. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't hurt nothing. I went over mine this week and I found some, it died back about an inch or two, and I just recut them. And then in years gone by, we've had little freezes that kind of caused that too. And you can always go back and cut them. And the people really show roses, especially hybrid teas. They cut their roses back pretty low, and they're wanting that big exhibit rose. And most of us that grow roses, we show roses, but we want good garden roses. We want a lot of blooms, a lot of flowers, a lot of fragrance. Pruning is something you just get comfortable with doing. And it's just something I try to teach people that there's no such thing as bad pruning. It's just no pruning at all, you know. So that's the deal.
Well, our next step in beginning them to grow is fertilizing. So talk to us a little bit about that.
All right. And there again, this is what I do. And three or four of the public rose gardens here in the Nashville area that I oversee and is consulting rosarian for the Nashville Rose Society. I started them on my program because that's the one I knew. But all us rosarians has a different way of fertilizing. In the spring, what I do after I prune, I do two things. After I prune and clean my beds and check my pH, make sure my pH is good. And if it's off, I add it at that time. I like organics, and I think the first thing I put around the plants in the spring is either meals mix, Beatty's fertilizer meals mix, which a lot of us rosarians use, or any kind of organics, worm castings or whatever you've got, put around your plant right after you prune. Now, organics take a while to break down. And during this period, if it's March or April, whatever it is in your zone that you prune, put that in there first. So it'll be breaking down by the time it needs it. And then in zone seven, about April the 15th, I'll go back in there and around the big plants. I put about a cup of Osmocote. There's all kinds of, I use triple 14 Osmocote. It's a 3 to 4 month fertilizer. It's a time release, and I put that in there then. And then when I do my organics also, I go ahead and put about eighth to a fourth of a cup of Epsom salt, which I, you know, everybody don't use that, but I love it because it makes your cane stronger. It just really strengthens your plant. It's kind of weird to mention salt putting around roses, but Epsom salt is good around a lot of plants and it has a lot of uses. So I was kind of taught that when I first started from my mentor, and I continue to use that. Anytime you add these fertilizers, always make sure that you water them in good. Now, we've had plenty of water down here, and we've had plenty of water this winter. After you fertilize, just water it in. That settles it all in, keeps it from washing away, and it starts activating immediately. Now, miniatures, everything I just told you, just cut in half on your miniatures because they're smaller plants and they don't need as much. Now, some of your bigger miniatures, you know, just because of the miniature, meaning the plant's not big. Sometimes I'll put a cup around them if it's a large plant. I have a Daddy Frank out here that it just got huge. So I actually put a cup. I put around hybrid teas around them. Floribundas, grandifloras, all them are about the same. If you got tree roses, it would be the same. Climbers would be the same. That's basically how I do it, and I've done it for a long time because I like a combination between organics and granular fertilizer. I like to mix them up, but that'll get you started for the spring. And here in Tennessee, our first bloom cycle is usually the first or the second week in May. We start blooming, depending on where you are here in Middle Tennessee. I'm on the northern end, so mine's about 4 or 5 days later than it is on the southern end, just here in our area, 25 miles. But that should get you going. Put your organics in first and go from there.
That sounds great. You know, that's something we can do. And if it works for Ron, it's going to work for us. So I love it. I love it. Now, our last point that we want to talk about with you is the spray program that you use.
I like to spray less if I can. But in the spring, like I've already done it here in my garden, after I pull away winter protection, after I've pruned, after I've added my organics, I go back in there and I will spray the canes. And by now, I mean, my roses are leaving out already. And by now, you know, once you got leaves, you're supposed to start a spray program. But 2 weeks ago, I sprayed my roses with a product called Manzanate. Now, you can use organic oils if you want to. And what this does, it actually kills anything that overwintered. like black spot or whatever. And so I spray that, the canes and everything, real good to start off with. And that gives you a good start in the spring. Now, once it starts leaving out, you were supposed to start a spray program. And I basically, on the manzanate, I'll put 1 tablespoon per gallon of water, and I'll spray it after I get through. And then 5 days later, I'll spray it again. And what that does, that kind of knocks out everything from the year before. My goal in my garden always is to keep black spot at 5 to 10%. I know that sounds over the top, but I have a goal to try to keep that under control. My whole deal about diseases is this. If you don't have them, you don't have to cure them. And you don't, you just don't have to cure them. So, but I like to get a jump on it that way. But if you use an organic spray, you need to use, you have to spray every 7 days, at least once a week. And then you have to, in the summertime, you have to cut back on the amount you use because of the heat, because these are natural oils and, you know, you don't want to be frying your roses out there. But my form is this. I use either, like I said, I want a preventative. I want to keep it from getting it in the first place. Then I ain't got to deal with it. So I use a Banner Max or Honor Guard. And a lot of our people grow roses use these products. Honor Guard is a generic version of Banner Max, and it's a preventative fungicide. It keeps it from getting black spot, and which is the main thing we have here. And then I'll start that program. If I have any insect situations, I don't spray insecticide, anything like that. If I have a problem, I'll deal with it. And I use a Merit 75 FARS for aphids and stuff like that if I get a severe case of them. But I try to stay away from that. But I use both organic and inorganic sprays in my garden because I try to a friend of mine said, well, what you've got out here is a laboratory. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're experimenting with things and learning about what works and what don't work. And so that's basically what I do. And what I do with them, them synthetics, the Banner Maxes, and the manzanates, and sometimes I'll start spraying. I'll mix the two about every 2 or 3 times. I'll put manzanate with Banner Max, and you can do that. There's a lot of fancy stickers out there, but the guy that mentored me, all I do is put a couple of drops of Dawn in my mix, and it, you know, as we all well know, rose leaves are very slick, a lot of them, and it works pretty good. And it's very inexpensive, and you know, Dawn's awesome product in itself. But I use it for a sticker in my spray, and I spray everybody every 14, 15 days. So that puts me spraying 2 times a month, which really limits what you have to do in spray. And you have to spray your rose every 7, 10 days. So mine is more is a preventive spray. It's not a spray to. If I start having a little black spot, I'll add some manzanate to it. And that'll knock that out. And that's what that does. That fungicide will knock out black spot and keep everything. And another thing about the Banner Max, it kind of shields it from any kind of mildew, downy mildew or whatever that you have, or powdery mildew. It'll protect the leaves. And the leaves are the solar panels to the rose. I mean, the leaves, if your leaves are not right, your flower's not going to be right. So it's very important. Protect that. If you're going to have good roses and a good garden, a rose garden, you have to have a spray program.
Love that. The leaves are a solar panel for the roses. That's
they are.
Perfect.
They take in the sun, and they are. If you, when I go out and pick out new roses, I don't look at the flowers. I look at the structure, and I look at the leaves and see how healthy they are. You can see, I mean, you've been around roses long enough. No, you know when a rose is not right. And so it's very, you know, to get a good, you need healthy leaves. If you ain't got healthy leaves, you're not going to have any kind of flowers for sure.
Our time is coming to an end. But is there one other thing you'd like to tell us about rose care before we have to say goodbye for today?
Yeah, I learned this years ago. When you start your garden in spring, start a garden calendar in your garden, and that way you can kind of rate your roses. And another good thing about it's a good time to you know, to start planning for your new roses. If you order bare root here in zone 7, you could already planted them. And then the potted roses start coming in the first of April, and I've got some I got planned out here. So plan ahead. Keep a good garden calendar of what you're doing. I can look back on my calendar and see what I did last year at this time. And I also have, of course, nowadays you can back it up with pictures and stuff like that. And you can put them on your computer, or you can put them wherever you want to. And you can go back and say, well, this is what I did. How can I do it better? Maybe I need to replace that rose or whatever. I'm a firm believer that rose is just as much going on underneath the soil as is above the soil. And keeping, once you get good soil, just keep it happy and keep it healthy, and you'll have great roses.
I love the tip on keeping a calendar. It's so true, because we forget. We think we'll remember, but we forget.
We do. And we do more of that as we get older. So my kids and grandkids make fun of it. They'll see it and they'll say, this is over the top. I mean, you know, April 15, you knew what your garden. I mean, they just don't understand it. But if you spend as much time as we do in our gardens, it's very great information, because you can really kind of, it helps you to do your to grow your roses in you know, in the new season. So, but I was taught that a long time ago, and I can go back 15 years, 20 years with a garden calendar, believe it or not. I didn't tell them that. If I told them that, they'd probably put me in a home somewhere.
Well, I think that that helps us to be good mentors as well, because we do forget. And when we have real information, it's going to help us in helping the next person. So you had a great mentor. And I think that just tells us we need to be great mentors, because it makes a difference to give someone a strong foundation for anything that we're trying to teach them to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say one thing before you sign off. We have definitely practiced social distance today. So we're 300 some odd miles apart. I mean, this is the safest gardening I've ever done. So,
I mean, no tetanus shot needed here.
No tetanus shot needed here, that's for sure. But anyway, everything's going to be all right, and we're going to have blooms for too long, and share our gardens, hopefully, and things will get back to normal. But in the broad scope of things, you know, growing roses is not as important as our health. But it sure helps. It's good therapy, I'll tell you that.
It is good therapy. Ron, thanks so much for chatting today. We're armed with some great new information that we can put into practice starting this spring. So it's just perfect. And friends, we appreciate you joining us today. Stay safe and healthy, and enjoy this extra time that you have in the garden. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.